Hello and welcome to Georgia Today. On this podcast, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. Coming up on this episode, Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis testifies before a state Senate committee. Georgia homeless service organizations have concerns about funding, and state officials want consumers to shop safely and avoid scams this holiday season.
When I think about the holidays, this is a time when we're really trying to be generous, philanthropic, kind, and scammers will recognize that and they prey upon our best instincts.
Today is Wednesday, December 17th. I'm Orlando Montoya, and this is Georgia Today. Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis defended her record during a tense hearing in front of a state Senate committee investigating her today. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
Senators on the predominantly Republican committee questioned Willis about her decision to hire a special prosecutor she also had a relationship with to prosecute an election interference case involving President Donald Trump and others. Willis did not back down.
You all want to intimidate people from doing the right thing, and you think that you're going to intimidate me. You all have been trying to intimidate me for 5 years.
Willis's attorney, former Governor Roy Barnes, called the questioning a witch hunt, but Senate Majority Leader Steve Gooch says,
I believe she owes it to the taxpayers and to the citizens of Fulton County to answer the questions.
The committee also questioned Willis about her office structure and how her staff is paid during the hours-long meeting. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis at the State Capitol.
A dentist and former Cobb County School Board member is heading to the state capitol after narrowly defeating a fellow Democrat in a special election runoff yesterday. Jaha Howard will represent a Metro Atlanta district that includes parts of Cobb and Fulton counties. He defeated former State Representative Roger Bruce for the seat, formerly held by State Senator Jason Estevez, who resigned his post in September to focus on his campaign for governor. Homeless service organizations in Georgia are unsure about what funding they'll have next year to help people into housing. GPB's Grant Blankenship reports their concerns come as a challenge to a new Department of Housing and Urban Development policy works its way through the courts.
Many of the homeless service providers who rely on money from HUD use what's called a supportive housing model. It's where a roof comes before services like mental health care or substance abuse recovery. The Trump administration wants to flip the script to support more transitional housing. Treatment first, roof later. Pat Fry of the United Way of the Chattahoochee Valley in Columbus says the changes derailed their work, mostly focused on rehousing domestic violence victims and their families.
So our community alone was turned upside down. We went from having, you know, $1.4 million or $1.5 million to just over $500,000.
The next hearing in a lawsuit against HUD by mostly northern states' attorneys general is Friday. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship.
Meanwhile, construction of a new affordable housing development in Macon is slated to begin in early 2026 with a substantial push from local government. Pleasant Hill Landing will occupy a lot that once housed two different schools in Macon's historically black Pleasant Hill neighborhood. Demolition at the site occurred just over a year ago, but construction was paused while finances came together. The Macon Housing Authority had sought $1.4 million in federal low-income housing tax credits to kick off construction. Instead, the Macon-Bibb County Commission will provide that funding directly to the authority. Macon Housing Authority CEO Mike Austin.
We'll be in a position to start construction, and hopefully that will start in January or February of 26, and we're really excited. 64 brand new units of affordable housing in Pleasant Hill, so this is really the last piece of money that needs to come into place.
The state's most recent assessment of Georgia's housing needs shows the state has about half as many affordable rental units as it needs. The Georgia Department of Education has released its lists of schools coming on and off designations for support and improvement for the 2024-2025 school year. The lists published yesterday determine public schools targeted for extra support based on underperforming metrics. Four schools were able to exit a list created every 3 years, while 55 were able to exit a list created every year. 43 were designated as making progress, while 87 were designated as needing targeted support. State School Superintendent Richard Woods said the designations are not to label or define schools, but, quote, to make sure they have the right support in place. The department's release highlighted several schools that made progress, including schools in Fannin, Jefferson, and Macon-Bibb counties, and how they did so. A Middle Georgia commercial printing and marketing services provider is closing its plant after three decades in Upson County. Thomaston-based Quad told state officials yesterday the closure will impact 241 workers. This brings the total number of announced layoffs in Georgia this year to more than 15,000, twice as many as the state averaged over the last 2 years. How far does a $100 bill get you in Georgia? That depends on where you live. According to a Purchasing Power report published this week by the right-leaning policy nonprofit Tax Foundation, based on 2023 data from the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis, the group says the state's non-metropolitan areas get the greatest amount for that Benjamin, about $115. That's not far off from the purchasing power in the Albany and Valdosta metro areas. No surprise, the state's most expensive region is Metro Atlanta, where $100 buys about $99 worth of goods and services. But that's still close to $100, and about 15% more than in large California, New York, and Florida cities that dominate the most expensive list.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
State officials are encouraging consumers to shop safely this holiday season. Georgia Attorney General Chris Carr and Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger both issued alerts recently warning Georgians about holiday scams. And here to talk about the federal response to those scams is FBI Atlanta Division Special Agent Daniel Polk. Welcome to GPB.
Thank you for having me.
Well, the Better Business Bureau recently published a list, the 12 Scams of Christmas, playing on the 12 days of Christmas. But scammers don't take a day off. What kind of scams should people watch out for, especially around the holidays?
You're right. They don't take any days off. It is a $50 billion industry year over year. And what we do see is some seasonality to this. So when we think about the holidays, there's obviously a lot of shopping. My mom just the other day was on Instagram. She saw an ad for a dress that she really wanted from a brand that she trusted. Looked like the dress was 80% off. She tapped that ad in Instagram right there on her feed, took her to what looked like a legitimate site right there in the app, connected her PayPal, money was gone, dress never shows. And what we're seeing is over the holidays, scammers recognize that we're all trying to buy these gifts, and we're seeing a lot of paid promoted ads that are malicious, designed to entice you to give that credit card information, but it is in fact designed to steal from you.
People's bank accounts are tied to their credit cards. What kind of the best ways to keep those safe, and what should you do if you realize you've fallen for one of these scams?
So if you believe you've fallen for one of these scams, the first thing you need to do is go to IC3.gov. Think of that almost as 911, and IC3 stands for the Internet Crime Complaint Center. And if you go to IC3.gov, you're going to be able to report what happened. And if you do that within about 48 hours to 72 hours, a tight window, we work with the banking sector to freeze those funds and get you your money back. If it's been some time since the money's left the door, still go ahead and report it. And we look to still build cases to go after these scammers. One resource we're putting out there is FBI.gov/holidaytalk. And it's a resource designed to give about a 10-minute video for you to have a conversation specifically with your parents and grandparents about scams this holiday season. So my hope is that we can start a new holiday tradition with our loved ones, and that's just talk about scams.
Georgia Secretary of State's office says in one recent case, a Georgia charity's email system was compromised, and a scammer posed as its executive director, telling a staff member to purchase thousands of dollars in gift cards using the group's credit card before a vigilant cashier, quote, questioned the transaction and uncovered the fraud. Does that kind of case highlight the sophistication that scammers can present?
I think it highlights both the sophistication and the cruelty, Orlando. To be honest, when I think about the holidays, this is a time when we're really trying to be generous, philanthropic, kind. And scammers will recognize that and they prey upon our best instincts. What I'm alarmed by, outside of, you know, charities that are being attacked through their own types of phishing schemes, is I'm seeing what I would call the long con, where, you know, parents and grandparents of ours will develop relationships, friendships that start casual and natural online with some of these scammers, but they believe they're talking to a soldier who's overseas. And they end up giving, you know, trying to be helpful and kind to help that individual out who might be in need, when in fact they're giving away what turns out to be their life savings to somebody who's trying to scam them and prey upon the desire to be charitable.
That is FBI Atlanta Division Special Agent Daniel Polk. Thank you for coming to our studio. And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. Find the latest reports from our GPB news team at gpb.org/news. Also, we're on social media. Follow us at GPB News on Facebook and Instagram. You can send us feedback to georgiatoday@gpb.org and hit subscribe on this podcast if you haven't done so already. That'll help you keep us current in your feed. And I'll be back with you again tomorrow as Peter Biello continues to be on vacation this week. If you're on your vacation, enjoying us while you're away, keeping up with the Georgia news while you're on vacation, thanks very much. And wherever you are, thanks for listening to Georgia Today.